the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Capital Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian, it's Friday.
Hey, happy Friday to you. We made it. That's right. It's the 15th of the month. We're halfway through March. Ooh, this first quarter's almost done, too. Kind of crazy.
Oh,
well, should be a festive weekend. St. Patrick's Day is going to be celebrated both tomorrow and Sunday. And depending on where you live, we may touch on that in a little bit. And, of course, we've got St. Joseph altars popping up all over the place in honor of Jesus' Papa on Earth. And so we're going to offer up a prayer today as the St. Louise de Marillac is our saint of the day. So let's do that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Loving and compassionate God, we celebrate with great joy the faith and works of St. Louise de Marillac. Instill in us the fire of her love, the tenacity of her belief, and the tenderness of her care for the most abandoned. Draw us closer together into the light of your presence and help us to trust in the power of your Spirit, leading us ever closer to you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We will learn more about our saint of the day later on, but we have some wonderful events in our listening area at 10 after we will give you details about. You can find all of these and more at our website right now at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Nandi Bandich joins us. She's a mother of six and founder of Catholic Sprouts. Today, she's talking about a Catholic parenting video series that will inspire us and equip Catholic families toward a greater relationship with our Lord. So looking forward to our conversation with Nancy today. In 35 minutes, Chris Reed will be with us. He's a Catholic author, and he has a new book called Sacred Conversations. And in 48 minutes, Terry Dixon joins us. He's a director of communications of the Diocese of Biloxi and editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper. There's a lot of stuff going on along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Terry is going to be giving us all of those details. We have fish fries, St. Joseph's altars, like Damian said, St. Patrick's Day parades, and so much more. So looking forward to our conversation with Terry today. It's always a very entertaining one. We love having Terry join us. And Damian, looking forward to our weather report. What does today and the weekend look like for us?
Wet and humid, to say the least. Isolated showers and thunderstorms are expected today with an 80% chance of rain and also a high of 80, winds out of the southeast at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Though looking at the radar right now, there's really nothing to write home about. That's the good news. Unless you live in Golden Meadow and Port Sulphur, right along the Louisiana Gulf Coast, you're getting a few sprinkles and showers, but nothing major. The North Shore may see a shower pop up around mid-morning. Tomorrow we have a 60% chance of rain with a high, again, close to 80 degrees, right at 79. On Sunday it's going to be 80% chance of rain, so 60% tomorrow, 80% chance of rain on Sunday. And it could put a damper on your St. Paddy's Day parade expectations. What I would do is get out your green rain gear. That's the main thing. Whether you're participating in the parades or just want to go and watch, go ahead and do it. What the heck? It's a lot of fun. And right now, it's humid, as I said. Temperatures pretty much in the 70s. It's 70 in Mobile and Biloxi, 71 in Covington, 73 in Houma Thibodaux, 74 in New Orleans, 75 in Baton Rouge. So that's your weather forecast. Gear up for it. It's 5 after. Gear up for more Wake Up.
Good Friday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 7. Jesus moved about within Galilee, but he did not wish to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. But the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he himself also went up, not openly, but as it were in secret. Some of the inhabitants of Jerusalem said, "Is he not the one they are trying to kill? And look, he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Could the authorities have realized that he is the Christ? But we know where he is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." So Jesus cried out in the temple area as he was teaching and said, "You know me and also know where I am from. Yet I did not come on my own. But the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." So they tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand upon him because his hour had not yet come. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Jesus' relatives, who identified with the general term of brothers, want Jesus to manifest himself with a grand display in order to win the favor of the religious leaders of Israel, who are now plotting Jesus' death. Ignoring their worldly thinking, Jesus will attend the upcoming festival in secret, that is, without a grand display. However, once Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, he speaks openly. Now, this is an idiomatic expression that identifies a true friend who speaks honestly and directly, for Jesus is always trustworthy and courageous. His behavior stands in stark contrast to the inhabitants of Jerusalem who were aware of Jesus' danger but were afraid to speak openly about Jesus because they were afraid of the authorities. Their fickleness will manifest itself on Good Friday when they will shout at the prompting of the chief priests, "Crucify him!" Curiously, among themselves, the Jerusalemites discussed if Jesus could indeed be the Messiah because in some extra-biblical writings, like in 1 Enoch, it was claimed that no one knew where the Messiah would come from. Jesus challenged this thinking when he said, "You know me, and you also know where I am from," here referring to his earlier teaching that he came from the Father. This is the critical point that challenged them and us to elevate our thinking to a higher spiritual level so that we can perceive his origin, that it is from the Father who sent him. And thus the Father, not Nazareth, is his origin of real importance. The lesson here is that when we make judgments about Jesus based on appearances and worldly thinking, we block our ability to grasp Jesus' true origin with the Father, and then we become incapable of knowing the Father whom Jesus reveals. St. John Chrysostom developed the importance between Jesus' words of truth and actions. Because God is both God and true, these qualities are inseparably related. Knowing the truth that Jesus teaches leads us to act well, and acting correctly helps us to better understand the truth. Conversely, when we act badly, we blind ourselves to the truth. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sakers.
And this is Wake Up, and we're so glad you could join us. Thanks for also watching us on WLAE in New Orleans and on Catholic Life TV in Baton Rouge. With us now are some events that we want to share with you, so get out pencil and paper and jot some of these down if you'd like to attend. Beginning Monday through Wednesday at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Covington, they're going to have their parish Lenten mission with Father Brian Howard. Monday and Tuesday, they'll begin with confessions starting at 6:30, going till 8:30, and the presentation will begin at 6:30 as well. Wednesday, confessions from 5 until 6:30 with Mass to follow, and then the presentation after that. And there's also going to be a reception each night in St. Mary's Hall. For more info, go to ccmedia.live.
Awesome. Well, tonight over at Our Mother of Mercy Catholic Church in Pass Christian, that's in Mississippi, they will have a healing mass at 5 p.m. And they will also have praise and worship, prayers, and so much more. Come and experience the healing power of the Holy Spirit. It's a monthly service that happens every third Friday of each month. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information.
And we all want to help out our seminarians whenever we can. And the Notre Dame Seminary Gala and Auction is tomorrow night. And there may be a few tickets still left. The patron party begins at 6, and the gala and auction starts at 7, going all the way until 10 o'clock, maybe even later. The silent auction and live auction, there's over 250 items. Gabby's all excited about that.
Oh, yes.
Her husband
I'm excited about... I'm excited about the dessert room.
That's impressive.
Yes, yeah. It's just so nice. Even if you're not going to eat anything, it's just pretty to look at. So
right.
It's a fun event.
And there's dinner, cocktails, music. Yeah. In fact, Catholic Community Media is going to have a little section doing, sliders, right?
I think so. Yeah, David Dawson is making them, right, Dave? Yes, I think so. We'll be serving them.
Pulled pork sliders.
Pulled pork sliders.
Oh,
yep.
They're good. Yeah. They're very good.
That's Dave. He's helping us out today. Tickets start at $500 a couple. Includes the patron party and the gala. And for more details, you better move quick. CCmedia.live has them for you.
There we go. Well, St. Anne Parish in New Orleans is looking forward to having Father David Michael Moses to lead their Lenten mission this year with the theme, The Catholic Blueprint, How the Sacraments Sanctify Us. It's going to be taking place March 18th through the 20th with Masses at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information. There's a lot of parish missions going on that really within the next few weeks, so definitely take a look at those.
And I want to put a plug out for my buddy Barry Gahagan and his crew, the Irish Channel, our marchers who participate in the Irish Channel Irish Parade every year. It is tomorrow. It begins. They're going to start out at 8:30 tomorrow at Pete's out in the cold. That's where they're going to get warmed up. And they will march down Magazine to Jackson Avenue, then to St. Charles Avenue and Louisiana Avenue. Somewhere in between, they're actually going to stop at St. Mary's Catholic Church for Mass.
Hmm.
Boy, talk about being the spirit.
That's fun.
I just hope
that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And if you've never attended a St. Patrick's Day parade, tomorrow could be it if in New Orleans. Sunday is the parade in Baton Rouge, so a lot of activities. Mm-hmm. It's 15 after the hour. We've got our guest coming up next.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 15th. Today we celebrate St. Louise de Marillac. All the obstacles in the world couldn't stop today's saint from pursuing the path in life God had in mind for her. Louise de Marillac knew that she was to undertake a great work under the guidance of another person she had not yet met. When she finally met that person, a holy priest named Vincent de Paul, she joined him in his work among the poor. Louise proved to be an answer to Vincent's prayers. She taught, organized, and won the hearts of peasant women who were themselves close to the poor. Four young women, some of them illiterate, joined Louise in her work. Soon there was a need for a rule of life for the community of women. With Vincent's guidance, they formed the Company of the Daughters of Charity. Despite her own poor health, Louise traveled throughout France, placing her community members in hospitals, orphanages, and other institutions. At her death in 1660, the congregation had more than 40 houses in France. Louise de Marillac was canonized in 1934 and named the patroness of Christian social workers in 1960. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
I want to make a quick correction, Gabby, if I can. I mentioned that the St. Patrick's Day Parade was Sunday in Baton Rouge. It's actually tomorrow as well. So I apologize for that. It usually kicks off at 10 o'clock in the morning, if I'm correct about that. So
That is okay. Well, hey, it's 19 past the hour. We're so glad to have you join us today. And definitely take a look at some of the fish fries happening in our listening area. A lot of them, I would say most of them, have them today and next Friday. And that's it, guys, because the Friday after that is Good Friday, if I remember. If I looked at my calendar correctly. So there's two more fish fries for most fish fries coming up. So take a look at that. There's tons of seafood options and different menus, and they're all over the place. We also have various St. Joseph altars that you can find really along our listening area. Diocese of Baton Rouge, Archdiocese of New Orleans, home of Thibodeau, and along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Definitely check those out. A lot of them are taking place Monday, Tuesday of next week. So looking forward to that. Also, many of you have submitted your events to us. You can do that at ccmedia.live. Click on events and news and then click submit your event. It is absolutely free. And Damien, I have to say that a lot of people listen to this event segment and they're hearing their other friendly parishes submit their events and us talking about them. And they are also doing the same. So it's never too early to do yours, so just go ahead and send it to us. It's absolutely free. But we have some other ones coming up, Damien, right? Cypress Springs Prayer Center is having an event as well.
Well, they are. And you're talking about the St. Joseph altar that they've got planned?
Yeah.
Yes.
And definitely.
That is in store, and that's going to be coming up, tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Sunday. From noon to 4, and the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, they do a bang-up job. They really do. And if you want to see a beautiful altar, that would be one to go to. They're located off of George O'Neill. Also, St. Joseph Cathedral in Baton Rouge, another big altar, a lot of volunteers, a lot of Italians, as well as other nationalities like to participate in St. Joseph Altar. That's going to be actually on Tuesday, St. Joseph's Day. They always kick things off with a mass, but the altar will be open for public viewing from 9 to 3 with the mass at 12:05, and then the meatless meal in the parish hall follows the mass. That evening, they're doing a special organ recital at 7 o'clock, so it's an all-day event on Tuesday in Baton Rouge for St. Joseph Cathedral.
Wonderful. Definitely check that out. All of that is on our website at ccmedia.live. Also, there's different opportunities where you can get involved within CC Media. Volunteer opportunities, definitely check those out. And of course, you can follow us on social media. Catholic Community Media is the hub for Facebook, Instagram, Threads. Twitter is LA Catholic Media, because Twitter is quite unique as always, or X rather. So you can go and follow us on there. But Damien, I wanted to talk about a few things that we have coming up as well. But I think we have our next guest. Nancy Bandich joins us. She's a founder of Catholic Sprouts, and she has a new video series that she's a part of, a 6-episode video series that inspires and equips Catholic families. Hey, Nancy, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, good morning.
Well, give us some details. This is a wonderful opportunity for parents to really get involved in forming faith in their families and for their children as our children quickly grow up. This is so important. So take us through this series.
Sure. So we are so honored to have made the series is called The Catholic Parent. It's available on Forms, which is, of course, put out by the Augustine Institute. So I'm a mom of 6. Our oldest is 12, our youngest is 2. So we are most definitely in the trenches and doing all the things, Catholic parenting. And we started talking to the guys over at the Augustine Institute, and they were sort of seeing what we were seeing, which is that there's a lot of resources for marriage. There's a lot of resources for kids, you know, especially kids as they get older. But there wasn't a lot of tangible things for parents. And, of course, all the research is showing us that if kids are going to receive the Catholic faith, they need to receive it from their parents. So parents need real support. And they also need, I think at least this is what I need, is I need materials that I can see myself in. Because what was sort of existing for Catholic parents in media space were these sort of like glossy images of like the ideal Catholic family, which is of course what we're all hoping to become, but none of us are, you know, like We do take our kids to Mass every Sunday, but they certainly aren't there kneeling with their hands folded and pious smiles on their faces the whole time. You know, it's a struggle. It's hard.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to create something that everybody could watch and be like, oh, I relate to that, you know, like wrestling a toddler in the pew, but then also move to the point where we say, like, it's hard, but it's worth it. And here's why. And it's particularly important for us as parents, because we're not just fulfilling those, you know, our Sunday obligation for ourselves. We're doing it in front of our children and showing them, like, it's hard, it's worth it. This is something that I want you to place as a cornerstone for your life.
Okay, so when you say, as a parent, when you say, we want to give this to parents to help them form their children, it starts with the parents. I'm all in. What do I do? What's next? What does that mean?
Yeah. So we took, you know, we wanted to create, like, the truth is that being a Catholic parent, right, our practice of the faith is different in every single way than it was when we were single. At least that's true for me. Like, my practice of going to Sunday Mass, very different as a parent than it was when I was single. Of course, the constant reality of Jesus Christ present in the Eucharist is unchanging, but my experience is different. But the same is true, like, confession, tithing, fasting, these are all different. Like, if I'm pregnant, it's different. If we're, you know, going through a medical thing with our kids, tithing is different. And so we just wanted to be like, yeah, it's different, but the truth remains. Like, there's no, like, caveat in the catechism that says, like, okay, parents, but if it's hard, you don't have to do it. So that's not the case. So what we wanted to create in the Catholic Parent, and I think it came out so beautifully, is that we use the structure of, you know, what it means to be Catholic, these practices of Sunday obligation, confession, tithing, fasting, teaching the faith. And then we show what it looked like in a real Catholic family. You know, so they actually, like, came into our homes with video cameras and, you know, recorded me in the trenches, which is, you know, humbling for sure. But then we left each episode with something just small and tangible that parents could start doing today, no matter what part of their journey they're on. You know, so for example, with the Sunday obligation one, you know, we're hoping to get to the point where we can, you know, have kids fully engaged there. But we're like, okay, but today, let's start by just having a small conversation with our kids where we explain to them that hour in Mass on Sundays is the most important hour of our week. So we can just have a 5-minute conversation about that. It's a great first step, you know? And so each of these episodes, it's not like we're going to show you the ideal and then go away and say, good luck. It's very much like, okay, this is what we're striving for. We see how hard it is. Here's one small step to take today.
Absolutely. And Nancy, every family is different. Like you said, not the picture perfect, ideal Catholic family. Yeah. There are single parents out there who are really just trying to make it. And they can be so devout, or they can be just kind of, you know, trying to get back into their faith and realize how important it is for their child. There could be parents who are maybe going through it right now. They're separating, they're going through a divorce. It is tough, but they really want to be there for their children and instill that faith. So I think this is so important to really highlight that, but also make known that this is for every family to really dive deeper, because it's so important in today's world, especially, as you know, you have a 12-year-old. Technology is coming at them so quickly. And it's important. So how can our parents and families get involved within this series? Where can they go to find out?
It's available on Forms, which I hope most people have access to through their parishes. A lot of parishes do. And if you don't, you just have to kind of, you know, look in the bulletin for the code. It's probably in there. But what I've loved to see is that a lot of parishes are having watch parties where they're just gathering Catholic families. And actually, it's fun for kids to watch, too, because there's a lot of content in there where they came into not only my home, but 6 other Catholic family homes. So you get to see, you know, real families getting ready for Mass, real families sitting down for prayer, what that looks like. just think it's fascinating to see the reality, you know, not only that it's hard, but also the variety in the way that we do things. So they're having watch parties to watch this and just sort of get that like shot in the arm to like, yep, we're doing this. Because honestly, raising a Catholic family is a radical choice today. And it's just so empowering to know, like, I'm not the only one. Not only am I not the only one having struggles, but I'm not the only one with this goal. And I love what you said about like the diversity of Catholic families. When we picked the families to be in this, we do have a single mom that bravely tells her story. We have parents, you know, that are empty nesters that are sharing.
Yes.
You know, Bill and I, my husband, we're definitely in the trenches with the big family. But there's also,
Nancy,
you know, a family that has second. Go ahead.
Well, we are out of time, and I'm so sorry, but we want to just appreciate your joining us today. Nancy Bandage, founder of Catholic Sprouts. You can go to forum.org for more information. It is 11:30 on Wake Up. It is 11:35. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado, and our next guest is Chris Reed. Chris is a Catholic author of his new book called Sacred Conversations, something Damian and I have Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Right, Damian? Sacred Conversations.
Very much so.
Chris, thank you so much for being with us today.
Gabby, Damian, good morning. Good to be with you.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is something I think we should all have a copy of. Take us through your book, Sacred Conversations.
Amen. And you do have sacred conversations multiple times a week. And I think every one of God's children should learn what they are, this God-given grace, this God-given gift of community and conversation that he gives us. But the problem is as you know, and as you cover on your show, most of us are having default chit-chat. We're having idle chatter. We're talking about the things of the world. So sacred conversations is about how to design a different conversation by inviting the Holy Spirit. And I am so excited to share it with your listeners today.
Well, Chris, you know, one of the conversations that I feel like bog me down are those conversations of negativity that have to do with things I can't control, like world events, something happened in politics that was quite frustrating, or something in the news that just can't go away, that's absolute devastation. Those kind of bring you down and really can kind of ruin your day, but kind of changing things around and making them positive focused, God-centered, that's something that I feel like can be quite difficult because we can get stuck in that rut for minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. I mean, for a lot of people, it's a challenge.
Amen. So the model in Sacred Conversations and the stories from my own faith development, I share that frustration. I share that lack of control. So the model really begins with how do we start with our pain, our suffering, but also with our hopes and dreams. And then through this five-step process of setting an intention, of inquiry, of listening more deeply to what others have to say, we walk through this process. And through that, we find healing, we find grace, we find illumination. We find a way forward when we feel stuck. When you said, you know, sometimes I just feel stuck, that in my coaching practice and the work that I've done as an HR executive, that's where a lot of people start, by seeking a helper out. And that's one of the two roles in the book, is we're all seekers and we all need a helper to get us unstuck sometimes.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you point out is how to stop, connect, reflect, and choose the best course of action in dialogue. Chris, a lot of us are on our way to work right now, and we just have that colleague that we just can't connect with or is a little bit challenging to work with. How can we implement this in our daily work environments?
That's a great question. That is one of the many tools in Sacred Conversations. It's really based on Catholic social teaching. There are many models of it in the, again, the book pulls from science and scripture. I'm a social scientist by training. I have a PhD in human communication. So some of the work out of Harvard and other places really do show us that when we just stop, take that beat, whether we're driving in our car, whether we're about to have a sacred conversations with our wife or our squirrely kids, that process of stopping on a neurochemical level disrupts the thought pattern that leads us into default conversation. So stopping, taking a breath, saying a Hail Mary, that allows us to connect with ourselves, to connect with the spirit, and then allows us ultimately to choose how we want to show up with that. And I give lots of scriptural examples of how Jesus himself showed up in many of his difficult conversations.
How can we implement this within our marriages? I find that this could be probably the key for a lot of marriages.
Amen. And it is, again, lots of research on family communication and marital communication. I think sacred conversations for married couples or pre-Cana training is a great application of sacred conversation. So in marriages, what we find is that we can often predict among couples whose relationships end in divorce by the patterns of their interaction. And what tends to happen is that when we look at like the ratio of negative statements to positive statements, it's far skewed in the negative direction. When we look at the amount of questions that couples ask of each other rather than making statements, this also translates to high-performing teams. Successful couples and successful teams often ask a ratio of 3 questions to every 1 statement. So before you say to your spouse, "Why do you always do this?" That's a very dangerous observation to make.
Mm-hmm.
Reframing that accusatory statement couched as a question as a more loving question of what's so important to you that you've engaged in this behavior today? What's so important about why you do this thing that you know aggravates me? So kind of moving away from advocacy and asserting our point of view to more gentle forms of inquiry that actually predicts healthy relationships, healthy marriages, healthy teams.
I don't know. I feel like if someone said that to me, I'd still be offended, but no. I know that. I don't know, but I feel like if it would come across as I think sacred conversations is so key in marriages too, but saying something also along the lines of, "I love you, but can you help me understand why this is happening or why this continues to happen," or something like that. But honestly, Chris, I think your book is a roadmap for a lot of communication roadblocks that couples have or will have in the future. But I think that the tools are absolutely there for couples.
They're there for couples. They're there for parents. They're there for best friends, brothers, sisters. You know, human dialogue is something that I've been studying for years and years and years, 20 years. I'm an HR executive by profession. And just came upon my heart in November of 2022 and said, "You know, my son, I've given you all these talents." It's like the parable of the talents, right? And why don't you, because communication is the cause and solution to so many of our earthly problems, put this in a model for all my children. And so I appreciate that observation, Gabby. I think it can help many, many people. It should be in every Easter basket. It truly is a gift that we can take to other people. It's not just for ourselves. It's for those we're serving. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve others, and we can do that by showing up in sacred conversation differently. And I hope this shows your listeners how to.
Yeah.
Chris, I would, how important is the listening aspect of the conversation? Because everyone seems to have preconceived notions and thoughts before the other person even finishes a sentence.
Good point.
Right. Most of the time we don't listen. We're actually just waiting to talk, right?
Exactly.
We did a workshop in our parish around sacred conversations called Listening to Each Other. Before you can before you can truly leverage this model for the greater glory of God, you really do need to work on some fundamentals. Listening is one of them, Damian. And so, you know, as we were talking about those examples of asking questions versus statements, listening to understand is a real foundational skill. I give some tips in Sacred Conversations about how to do that. And then, you know, Gabby said, I don't know, Chris, if I heard that question that way, I might still get upset. That's fair. So what we also know is that only 7% of what we're actually attending to when we're listening is the actual words, right? The other 93% is nonverbal, which we completely lose in text messages, in phone conversation, and then the other proportion of that pie chart is it's actually vocal inflection. So as my mother used to tell me, watch your tone, mister, because it's not the words that I'm
Chris. Chris, you are 100% right. And unfortunately, we are out of time. You can go to sophiainstitute.com to find out more about Sacred Conversations by Chris Reed. Stay with us. It's 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
It is 48 after the hour, 12 before the top of the hour, and you're listening and watching Wake Up. We're so glad you could join us and tune your heart to the truth. With us now, Terry Dixon. He is the Director of Communications for the Diocese of Biloxi and also editor of the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper there in that diocese. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Damian. How are you?
I'm doing great. You ready for St. Patrick's Day?
As ready as I'm going to be, because I don't have any plans.
You don't have any plans? Well, you need to make some. You need to listen to our events Damian on a regular
basis. Damian will give you
basis.
Plans.
You bet.
Well, I will tell you this. You could celebrate your St. Patrick's Day by going to Our Lady of Fatima Parish in Biloxi on March 17th for a traditional St. Patrick's beef and cabbage dinner, and that's from 9:30 to 1 p.m., and tickets are $12 at the door for dine-in or takeout.
Man.
That's on Pass Road in Biloxi.
That sounds like a good deal. And by the way, are you Irish?
I don't think so. I've never really delved into my genealogy, I hate to say.
Okay. I know your picture, we have you, and you're wearing green, so you just look like you might like to celebrate Irish on a regular basis. Yeah, show him on the screen for those watching on television. Look at that. Doesn't he look like he's ready for St. Patrick's Day? Looks like that to me. Anyway, he's got a green, a little bebop cap and a green polo shirt. Only thing missing is a beer in your hand. Okay, but let's get
to change my picture.
That's send us one.
okay. So, Terry, let's talk a little bit about some of the things going on in the Diocese of Biloxi. Get a little more serious here. You have some things happening at St. Thomas Aquinas Church Parish. Let's start with that.
We have a couple of big events coming up at St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Hattiesburg on April 4th. There will be a Eucharistic procession from the church. This is beginning at 4 p.m. The church is located across West 4th Street from the University of Southern Mississippi Hattiesburg campus, and it's next to the Pete Taylor Baseball Park. And so the Eucharistic procession is going to leave St. Thomas. It's going to come onto the campus, going to go throughout the campus, pause at the Danforth Chapel, which is located at the center of the campus across from the Hub or the Student Union, before returning to St. Thomas for benediction and adoration. And Father Mark Ropel, the pastor at St. Thomas, is inviting everyone to come and take part of this big event. This has never been done before. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. I went to Southern Miss. I'm looking forward to going up there and being part of this.
Yeah, it's and it seems like it's, I would think it's part of the Eucharistic revival too, because you're seeing a lot of Eucharistic processions at church parishes all across the South.
Mm-hmm. It is. A lot of parishes are doing things now that we are in the parish phase of the Year of the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to have people from our diocese who will be taking part in the procession that will be crossing throughout the Southwest and the Southeast, and then we have a group that's going to be going to the Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis in July.
Okay, and let's talk about the men's meeting that is taking place there as well at the same church.
Okay, that'll be March 23rd from 8 a.m. to noon. It's a morning of reflection that is being hosted by St. Thomas, and the featured speakers will be Father Ropel, the pastor at St. Thomas, and his parochial vicar, and also our director of vocations, Father Braxton Niekase. It begins at 8 a.m. in the parish center with biscuits and coffee, and the session starts in the church at 8:30 a.m. And again, that's from 8 a.m. to noon. And for more information, you can contact Roger Smith at 601-408-0995.
All right. Thank you for that, Terry. You know, we're all called to understand what sacrifice is all about. One of the things that are happening in the diocese is that y'all have a Passion of Christ play that is going to be taking place real soon.
Absolutely. It's going to be on Good Friday, March 29th at 12 o'clock at noon at St. Peter the Apostle Church in Pascagoula. That's located at 1701 Telephone Road. And the purpose of this play is to enlighten each person who wishes to witness this biblical event of the terror, humiliation, and torture our Lord had to endure during the time of his execution. It's really a powerful thing to see the way of the cross, the Passion of Christ performed live.
And, of course, you have a special event coming up on Tuesday in honor of St. Joseph.
Of course we do. That's going to be the Italian-English Mass at the Cathedral that's hosted by the Italian-American Cultural Society, and it's going to begin at 11 a.m. with Mass with Father Joe Dell'Attuso, who is Italian and also the chaplain of the society, and Father Godfrey Ando, who is not Italian, but he's the rector of the cathedral, and they can celebrate the Mass. And afterwards, there will be a lovely St. Joseph altar in the Sacred Heart Center behind the cathedral. So come check it out. The men and women who build this St. Joseph altar do a fantastic job. I love going around and visiting the St. Joseph altars throughout the diocese.
Yeah.
I will not be at the cathedral. I'm going to be in Poplarville at St. Joseph Church in Poplarville for their St. Joseph altar, which will begin at 11:30 a.m. They also do a very fine job.
Do you always grab a handful of fava beans for good luck for throughout the year?
I don't grab a handful. I may grab one.
Oh, okay. I just figured you'd spread them out to your friends, you know?
Yeah, that's
that's an idea.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying be greedy, but I mean, yeah. One is nice,
well,
but
I'll
a little
one
extra,
for you, one,
you know? You got
one
family
for Gabby.
Members. Yeah, that would be good. And just in case Gabby can't make it to a St. Joseph altar. But
I'll
also
mail them to you.
You know what my
Thanks,
wife
Terry.
Does with the bread from the altar?
You're welcome.
We keep it in
I'm
the
sorry,
freezer.
Say that again?
With the bread from the altar, we always want to get some bread from the altar. She likes to keep it in the freezer. And if there's a major storm coming, she makes me take some of the bread out, and you kind of crumble it up, and you spread it around your house for protection. St. Joseph to protect you. Have you ever heard of that?
Wow. I'd be worried about ants.
No. It's just a few little, you know, it's bread. You sprinkle it. I mean, she makes me throw it on the door and everything. But anyway. That's a tradition.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, as us Italians, we come up with stuff like that. So, all right.
I've never heard of that. That's interesting.
It is. Watch. People are going to want the bread now, and they're going to keep it in their freezer until a major storm comes. So, okay. Well, with that being said, Terry, I'm sorry we're out of time, but where can they go if they want to look at an online version of the Gulf Pine newspaper?
They can go to www.gulfpinecatholic.com, or they can visit our diocesan website, www.biloxidiocese.org.
All right, my man. Terry Dixon, thank you for being with us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great weekend, and be on the lookout for your beans.
That's right.
Beans.
Happy St. Joseph's Day to you, pal.
All right.
Well, that's it for this week, Gabby. Anything you want to add before we wrap up?
I don't. I'm ready to end today's show and get our Friday started off on the, continue on the right foot, because so far it's been a great day.
It has been. Y'all just kind of be careful with the rains. Other than that, we're going to offer up a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. As we prepare for the approaching Easter, help us to purify ourselves of all egoism, sensuality, vanity, and pride, so that we can accept your love with an open heart. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Brian Butler joins us from the Echo community. Deacon Billy Francione of the Diocese of Baton Rouge will talk about his role with Encourage and in the diaconate. Alan Migliorato and Dan Burke, two wonderful Catholic authors and speakers. Thank you so much to David Dawson, our audio director for the week, and Karen Cotton, our video technical director. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.